that hymn brings back memories. There was many years ago, a good friend of ours played that one to death. And I can remember we were doing a fundraiser, we were making Lamingtons, and he'd find the piano in the hall and start playing it, and we'd chase him off and he'd do a lap around and come back and sit down, start playing it again. So it was all good fun in that day. Well, thank you for inviting us. Let me just... I'm a little bit taller, so... Thank you for inviting us. Caroline and I consider it an honour and a privilege to be able to share with you today. The church at C3 Stand brings greetings, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been a pretty intense year so far for us. In January, I had the opportunity to preach at my home church on transformation, and I taught everyone how to fold an origami crane, you know, origami, paper folding, as an example of what transformation looks like in practice. And in February, we were here celebrating Dad's life, and it was an honour to be able to pay tribute to Dad, and also knowing that this is the place where Carol and I were married, and the wake was held where we had our reception. So, you know, it was a very interesting family connection, and so precious too. Three weeks ago, we were in Meriden preaching at the Uniting Church, and last week we were at Yanjibut Baptist preaching on Luke 13 and talking about the fruitfulness for God. So we're in this season of Lent, this time of preparation heading into Easter. Lent is that season of preparation and discipline that begins on Ash Wednesday and concludes at sundown on Holy Saturday. So we're like 3 weeks to go, right? Easter's like just around the corner. And during the 40 weekdays and 6 Sundays in Lent, the church remembers the life and ministry of Jesus and renews its commitment to him in Christian discipleship. Our home church has produced a Lent calendar with scripture readings and actions to take. Yesterday it was Psalm 145:18, which I still didn't look up after all of that. And the action was to fast from screens and spend time in worship. Well, sadly, I failed on both of those accounts and spent all my time in front of the computer. Today's action is to come to the table with Jesus and give him thanks for all he has done and for all who he is. For those who don't know me, my name is Paul Mulroney, and Caroline and I are itinerant pastors for C3 Stand in Langford. And C3 Stand believes that God is calling us to draw a line in the sand and take a stand for God. We stand on God's promises individually, in unity and with community, as followers of Jesus, becoming like Jesus. Because if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. Now, something you may not know about me is that many years ago now, I had the opportunity to participate in something called Kairos, the Kairos short course, which is run at the Acacia Prison. Now, Kairos is like the walk to Emmaus, but set up for prison population, for prison life. And the attendees who come along, so in Emmaus we call them pilgrims, but with Kairos we call them guests. They were our guests. And there were table groups, and there were like talks and worship and prayer. And it was 4 days of ministry spent within the prison system. And they were long days. We would get there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it would take us about 2 hours to go through all the scanners and security checks before we would actually be escorted in person to the conference room. And if we needed to go to the toilet, we needed to be escorted to the toilet. And everything that we took in was counted on the way out to make sure that everything that we take, yeah, it was really like that, really intense. And while we were there, I met a young man. And we're not supposed to talk about why they were in jail. You know, the first question you don't ask is, oh, what are you in for? That's just not done. But along the way, he quite proudly told me that he was there because of fraud, that he'd been able to hack into the ATO computer system. So, you know, he was pretty proud of that accomplishment. But over the course of the 4 days, we watched a transformation happen in these men. And this particular man gave his life to Jesus. And maybe after the service I can tell you why I think his conversion was real. But I can assure you that his commitment was all in, and it was a very powerful thing. And I remember thinking at the time, what a difficult journey that this man is going to have ahead of him. Now, he's going to do his time in jail, and then he's going to be released into the community. And he's going to try and get a job after that, and it's going to be incredibly hard. After all, who would give an ex-crim a second chance, right? Once a thief, always a thief, right? There'd always be this niggling thought in the back of your mind that says, maybe he'll do it again. Now, I wonder, have you ever been in that situation? Now, I'm not going to ask if you've ever done time behind bars, but maybe someone who has had a criminal background has come and asked you for a job. Now, it doesn't even have to be like that. Maybe you've actually done something really stupid in your past, and I can think of a few things that I've done, an action that has had a consequence in your life going forward. Maybe you just can't go to a particular place anymore because of something that's happened many years ago prevents you from being able to go there. Maybe it's shame or fear of being discovered, or maybe something else. But I wonder, is there a way that we can be free from the past so that it doesn't haunt us anymore? Is there a way to be free from the past? What does the Bible say about this? Well, our reading from 2 Corinthians today, the Apostle Paul is talking about this issue, and he gives us some clues about how we can be set free from the past. You ready to get into that?
Come on.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we will hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, "So we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who became Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God, who was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." What a powerful passage. Let's go through that bit by bit and see what God has to say. So verse 16 begins with the word "so." Now, if you're a bit of a Bible college student, you'll see that "so" is a joining word that joins the links the previous passage with our passage today. If you see "so" or "therefore" or "because" or any of those sorts of things, you need to read that bit in order to understand that bit. So in other words, because of what has gone on before, as a logical consequence of that action, we now do this. So if we look at verses 14 and 15, paraphrase, Paul had written and said, "Whatever we do, it is because Christ's love urges us on. And since we believe that Christ died for everyone so that those who receive life no longer live to please themselves, but instead live to please Christ. Now, because of all of that, we have stopped evaluating others by what the world thinks of them." In the Message translation, verse 14 goes like this: "Our firm decision is to work from this focused center. One man died for everyone, and that puts everyone in the same boat." And then in verse 16 it says, "Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you well know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore." So the Apostle Paul and all those who worked with him, once they saw Jesus as the Messiah, meant that they don't evaluate others from a human perspective anymore. Verse 17. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They're not the same anymore. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And that's a really, really powerful verse. Anyone memorize that as a kid? Indeed. It's a declaration. I remember it in the NIV translation like this: "If anyone is in Christ, They are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. The Tyndale commentary, the concise commentary, puts it like this. Paul continues his discourse on adequacy in Christ by putting forth the means of regarding people and the key of heart versus appearance was used to regard people in the light of God's grace in Christ and not according to the flesh. Paul no longer judged from a perspective that limited itself to what the eyes could see and the mind deduce. Instead, Paul saw all men according to their potential as having new life in Christ. So Paul no longer judged by looking at what he could see and figure out with his own mind. Instead, he looked at the heart, not the outward appearance, because the heart is where new life begins. And in the Passion Translation, there's a footnote about verse 17. It says this, new life in Christ isn't just a refurbishment. They use the word refurbishment. I was just thinking about McDougal Wellmans. They have these ads at the moment. They're talking about McDougal Certify, where they will refurbish your old farm machinery. And what they do is they take your old machinery, they repair it, they clean it up, they give it a paint job, and it looks amazing, and it's really good. And that's a great thing to do, and it's going to give you years and years of extra service out of your equipment. But that isn't what the Apostle Paul is saying here. It's actually more that you've taken the old equipment and you've been given totally brand new one. Zero runtime hours on the clock. Hasn't been used by anyone else. This is a new creation built from the inside out. A new creation. That's what God does for us. It's not just slap a paint job on the outside. It's actually rebuild us from the inside out. Verse 18, all this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. Now, that word reconcile actually means to restore relationship, to reconnect. One of the commentaries says that our position is altered so that we are no longer alienated or separated from God, but rather we are reconciled and restored, that we have obtained the favour of God because of Jesus. And to reconcile implies change. So reconciliation by the death of Christ means that humanity's state of alienation from God is changed by the death of Christ, so that now we are all able to be saved. God is the source of new life, and he did this through the work of Jesus on the cross. Look at the end of the verse. It says, God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. And in the first instance, Paul is speaking of his own ministry in that God has given him, personally, the ministry of reconciliation. But in a broader sense, he's also talking about the royal us, as in you and I, as believers in Christ, it is our responsibility to deliver this message. Verse 19 and 20. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors and God is using us to speak to you. So we become Christ's ambassadors, Christ's representatives. I love how the message puts it like this. It says, we're Christ's representatives, that God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We are speaking for Christ now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you say? In Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong so that we could be put right with God. We don't speak for God, rather God speaks his words through us. Let me say that again. We don't speak for God, but God speaks his words through us. That we are the bearers of his message to the world around us. And this is the message that God made Christ take our place for our sins so that we could have life in Christ. And our message is to others is to be reconciled with God. Repair that relationship with God. This is the gospel message. This is the good news to tell everyone that we can actually have that new life in Christ. It's a bit squeaky. Now, I can hear you say, so what? We've talked about reconciliation. We've talked about old and new lives. We've talked about inner hearts and outward appearances and prisons. But what does it mean for me? What do we need to know? Well, if we made a faith commitment to God, if we've prayed that prayer of surrender and we've asked Jesus to come into our hearts, then we are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, then we are a new creation. That God has forgiven our sins, that we are made clean in him. And it's as if God's hit the big reset button, wipe the slate clean, and we go forward from here truly free. Now, why do we need to know that? Well, the enemy is going to try and tell us otherwise. The enemy wants you to take your eyes off God and to look at your past and all the situations that you're stuck in right now. And when those times come, we need to be able to say to him, that's not me anymore. That's the old me. Now I am a child of God. This is the new me, forgiven, accepted, washed and restored. We need to keep reminding him. A friend of mine put it like this. He was a smoker and he tried several times to kick the habit. But eventually, it was only eventually he was able to do it. And you know what made the difference? He said, for him, it was instead of saying, I'm an ex-smoker, as in, I was a smoker once and maybe sometime in the future I might start smoking again. Instead, he would tell people, I'm a non-smoker, as in, I don't smoke and I'm not about to start. Now, do you hear the difference in those things? Hear the difference between being an ex-smoker, as if it's something that you could go back to sometime later, and a non-smoker, which is I'm never ever going to start. That's what it's like for us when we're a new creation. There's a different mindset, a different way of thinking. We need to think the same way about our relationship with God. Being in Christ puts us in a different position with God. We're no longer slaves to sin and death, but we've been translated, moved into a different position to be children of God to eternal life. It's a different mindset. Right? So what do we need to do? Well, we need to live like a child of God. We don't live in that old way of thinking anymore. We live in the new way of the Spirit. And I know that sounds really easy to say and very hard to do. But it's a process. It takes time. While inwardly we have been renewed, outwardly our bodies take a little while to catch up. So we need to continually retrain our mind to stop listening to that old reality that I was a sinner, and instead listen to that new reality that I am a new creation in Christ. Well, how do we do that? See, Paul said that God had given them the ministry of reconciliation, the task of sharing the good news with others. So part of living a child like a child of God is sharing the good news. So if we want to live in that new reality of being a child of God, we also participate in that ministry of reconciliation with others. We need to participate in that ministry of reconciliation with others. We need to see people as God sees them and to stop looking at outward appearances and start looking at the heart. How interesting is that? Well, how does that work? Well, it's all very confusing, isn't it? If we think like God thinks, then we're going to have God's priorities about his attitudes. And we'll start naturally looking at the heart and motives of people. And you know, whether they look rough from the outside or whether they look like they've got it all together, that we actually look at their heart and we ask God to tell us what's really going on. You know? And maybe our prayer should be, Father God, change the way that we see people so that we don't look at the outward appearances, that we actually look at the heart. My mate Alex is really good at doing that. When he looks at someone and maybe they're drunk in the gutter, he'll say, well, that's a child of God that needs our grace. And so he'll go down and, you know, sit with them or give them some food or make sure that they're actually looked after. You know, I'm going a bit off topic here, but he plays in pubs regularly. He's a musician. And the number of women that try to chat him up is incredible. Like, you know, musos, rock stars. And they want a piece of that. And he goes, look, you know, no offense, love. I love you as a sister. I think of you as my sister. we can't do this because you're someone's daughter, you know, and I have so much respect for you and so much love for you. Not that kind of love, but love for you. I want to see the very best of you. That's the kind of heart attitude that God wants to give us, so that we could see people in that light and not look at the outward appearances and not look at the behaviour, but see that God wants them to have a life in him. When we start living like this, our priorities start aligning with God's priorities, and we start dealing with the problems rather than the symptoms. And we bring that message of good news to the people. Here is a way to be free from the past so that you can be all that God made you to be. Isn't that cool? How good is that? So you need to think of it like this. You know, you're not an ex-sinner, right? You're a saint, right? It's a bit like you're not an ex-smoker, you're a non-smoker. You're not an ex-sinner, you're a non-sinner. Well, but you're a saint. You're a saint. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone with that past, with all of its mistakes and flaws, all the sin and condemnation, it's gone. The new life has come. That new life that brings peace and healing and wholeness and reconciliation and connection and relationship, that's what we have available to us today because we are a new creation in Christ. Each day now, going forward. So where do we go from here? Now what? What if we started living our life like this? What would it look like? We don't look at the outward appearances, and instead we look at the heart motive. In everything that we do, we are ambassadors of Christ, bringing the good news to others. What does your world look like if you're able to let go of the past? If you are able to let go of the past, how would you live your life differently? What if, instead of looking at outward appearances, that we looked at people's heart attitudes instead? How would we treat people differently if we saw them as God sees them? See, we need to stop living in the past. We don't need to look back. We need to look forward. Our future lies ahead of us and not behind us. You're not an ex-sinner. You're a non-sinner. You're a saint. You've made that transition from sinner to saint. Now, look, you can't drive a car forward by looking in the rearview mirror, right? Ever done that? Try driving and then looking back. You know, that doesn't work, right? And it's the same in our life. We can't live our lives looking back at our past and our failures and our mistakes, because Jesus Christ has set us free from those things in the past so that we can be free. I'd like you to close your eyes. What I would like to do is to listen to this reading from 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Passion Translation. And I've put in there all the footnotes from that as well, because I really think it speaks to us powerfully about this. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished, and this includes our old identity, our life of sin, the power of Satan, the accuser over us, the religious works of trying to please God, our old relationships with the world, and our old mindsets. We are not reformed or simply refurbished. We are made completely new by our union with Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Father God, thank you for new life in Christ. Thank you that you have set us free from the past. Thank you that you have made us new creations. Father God, help us to walk in your truth, to let go of the past and to walk with confidence as children of God into the future that you have created for us. Let us be your ambassadors of reconciliation, bringing the good news to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing our closing hymn, 614. God bless you.